Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Here we go, the Growing in Grace podcast. Glad you're with us once again. Mike Kapler, I'm the Cap. He has friends in medium places. Joel Brzezicki, here again for another week of podcasting.
Well, not too high, not too low. I guess I'm right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a balance, as the religious people like to say.
But are you saying I'm lukewarm? I'm not too hot or too cold? Oh, you're not too high, not too low. Okay.
That would be a great radio name, Lukewarm, on Christian radio.
My name is Lukewarm. Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that before? You ever wonder if it was just you that blew it, or if God was late and giving you a great idea?
Well, you know, it's always fun to play around with stuff like that. When I became a DJ in Christian radio, you know, we messed around with, we played around with what I would be called. You know, my middle name is Summer, and but Brzezicki, we could have done something with that. You know, Breeze, Joel Breeze. Well,
was it spelled like the season?
No, it's with an O instead of a U, so S-O-M-M-E-R. So I was Joel Summers. That's what we ended up with.
Yeah, and I knew that. I just wasn't sure if we changed it to the O.
Oh, I see. No, yeah, I was... Yeah, S-O-M-M-E-R, and we just added an S to it. And then in hindsight, I thought we could have done something with Breeze. You know, Brzezicki, Joel Breeze, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have worked.
But you know, that's just what we do. But it's been many years now, but I used to do some videos. I created a character called... The most extra holy Reverend J. Slick Breeze. Mm-hmm. And he was like, and you can sow your seed into my ministry. And he was all about getting money. He was all about preaching, and everything he preached was like sincere about this, that, and then the punchline came in and it was all to get money. And it was a character. I don't even know where I came up with that, but I would dress up in a suit and I would do these videos, and I had a lot of fun with that, but it got to be a lot of work to put those things together, so I think it tapered off after a while. But that's been a good 10, 15 years since I've done that.
Yeah, you had some funny ones there with that.
Yeah, the most extra holy reverend, I don't even remember what it was, J. Slick Breeze.
Did he have any sermons or teachings on becoming a disciple?
Ooh, that would have been good. That would have been good because he was to become my disciple, and you can sow your seed into my ministry. But no disciple things. That would have been fun.
Mm.
But on that subject,
Well, we started talking about that last week. So it would be helpful for you to go back to last week's program if you didn't catch it. And by the way, whatever podcast platform you may be listening to us on, you may be able to go back and find one recently. But if not, we've got all of them archived on our website, growingingrace.org. And so...
Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of talk in the modern day church world about being a disciple. And this isn't really part of your identity as a believer in Christ. That's kind of what we started talking about last week. You know, when Jesus, in Luke 14, Jesus had this way of communicating things to the Jewish people that he was speaking to, who, again, pre-cross, first covenant in place, people under the law. A law that has been put aside and come to an end since Jesus won the victory and established a new and better covenant as the high priest, not only for Jewish people, but for the world, Jews and Gentiles alike. Whereas the law was aimed at and the priesthood from that law within that covenant was aimed at the Jewish people. And so when Jesus was speaking to these Jewish people who were under the law, he had a way of sometimes saying things that would make the burden of that law potentially more real to them. Like in Luke 14, whoever does not bear his own cross, Jesus speaking here, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? So that's another phrase that gets thrown around, though, Joel. We have to count the cost.
Great.
We're going to pay, baby, when Jesus paid it all. And so we want to somehow, I don't know, it's just some sort of human nature. I don't know what it is, but we want to take on the responsibility for our eternity for some reason. I don't know why we would do that when Jesus has done it for us. But he goes on to say, don't you sit down and first count the cost before you go out and build a tower. Make sure that you have enough to complete the tower. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build something that and was not able to finish. Luke 14, 27 through 30. And Jesus said some things leading up to this. So a true disciple is supposed to become like the teacher, as we pointed out toward the end of last week's program. And it meant giving up everything, including family, you'll notice, when Jesus said that. When Jesus said to carefully count the cost, he's not telling us what we're going to have to pay. He's just telling us, stop and think, do you have enough to finish the job? He's attempting to show how they couldn't cover the cost that would be necessary to complete the task at hand. Only he would be able to do that. So with that in mind, the disciples could not ultimately become like the teacher in that sense. They came to the cross where Jesus would die, and they scattered. The following stopped, baby. And yet Peter in Acts 10, when he was talking to some Gentiles, that reminds me of something else, Joel, maybe we can get into, but when Peter said, we were witnesses, God allowed us to be witnesses. We saw this thing. There weren't a whole bunch of other witnesses. There were some, but they were there firsthand, close up. And when the cross happened, they went and hid. Peter was a denier, as we know. At least briefly. And so they couldn't become like the teacher in that sense. They couldn't finish the job. They couldn't carry their cross. We talk about people, well, you know, we got to carry our cross. And they'll come up with all kinds of different interpretations on what they think that means. But Jesus was looking ahead to something else here that was going to be a lot more applicable for them and for us when it came to doing what was necessary to bring redemption.
Right. And that he was going to be the one to do it, and nobody else would be able to do it. A lot of these things, you know, we're in Luke 14 here. Basically, 25 to 33, I know you were in Luke 6, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. These requirements that Jesus was laying out in Luke 14, we have tended to make them symbolic. He's just being hyperbolic. He's just using hyperbole to make a point. But what you're saying is that Jesus was actually serious about these things. And I think, you know, the disciples knew what he was talking about. When he said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, we symbolize that. Well, now on this side of the cross, we understand that he was just saying you have to die spiritually in order to be born again. But that's, Jesus was not being symbolic there. And they knew that when Jesus said, whoever does not bear his cross, they knew that a cross was an instrument of death. They knew that to bear your cross meant to die physically. And he was saying that if you don't bear your cross, and die physically and come after me, because he was going to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to the cross. That person cannot be his disciple. Just before that, Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, Jesus was just being hyperbolic. He was just exaggerating to make a point. No, this is what it was going to take in order to follow him, really, and go to the cross and be his true disciple. He was really showing them that nobody is going to do this. And again, like you say, counting the cost. That's what he goes on to talk about. And if a person would really, if one of those people, because right at this point in Luke 14, it says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned to them and said these things. So he's telling these great multitudes, this is what it's going to take if you're going to be my disciple. And he's showing them all, this is going to be impossible for you. I'm really the only one who's going to do that. He didn't say it in those words, but everything that he said would be interpreted like, this is just, how can I do, I can't do this. And in the end, verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So in your discipleship classes, and in your talk about being a disciple and a follower of Jesus, have you forsaken all that you have? He's talking about giving up your physical goods. He's talking about giving up your life, everything. Now, some people will say, yeah, I've given up, you know, this. I could have been rich. And that's all good. You know, I know a pastor who years ago, he gave up being a millionaire. He was making lots of money. He gave it all up to be a pastor and to preach the word. That's not what Jesus is talking about, though. Jesus is talking about being his disciple, forsaking all that you have. You know, he said the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And basically, you got to be just like him if you're going to be his disciple. Nobody's going to do it. That's the point. So that's kind of, and the thing, and just one real quick before I get back to you, is that followers of Jesus, we're not followers because, you know, back then it was people who physically followed him. Today, in Christ, he actually lives in us. He has come to dwell in us. Paul says that we are heirs and co-heirs with him. Our identity is that we are one spirit with him. We're not followers. Yeah, we learn about this, as I started off talking about last week. There's plenty of learning to do, but not as in this sense of being a disciple. I think it's so important that we understand what Jesus was talking about in all of this, and how people have tried to kind of Christianize it and make it into something that it's not. And instead, we need to understand who we truly are in him as our true identity, apart from what we do, apart from having to do these things.
Yeah, I mean, this thing about disciples, I mean, it was part of the culture. So, you know, even after the cross, we mentioned that the word disciples does get used in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. not after that, but in the book of Acts it's mentioned, but it's not really specifically referring to us being disciples. It's mostly referring to the disciples of the apostles. So, you know, like John, right. The baptizer dude, he had his disciples. Jesus had disciples. The apostles, like in the book of Acts, they had disciples that they were teaching, but it's not part of our identity as a new believer in Christ. And there's really a lot of things in the New Testament about this. You know, we referred to Luke 6 and 14, and I believe it's something else that I had come across, Joel, is Jesus said to the disciples, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, whoever does not take up their cross and follow after him is not worthy of him, or not deserving, not having the same value. This was in the context of being his disciple, if you take a look at that. Meaning, to become just like Jesus through what one does. And of course, everyone is undeserving of that title of disciple in that sense when it comes to being like Jesus, following his lead in everything, doing everything perfectly, and carrying a cross that brings redemption. This thing about carrying your cross, I know, like you said, Joel, you've used the word hyperbole quite a bit. Not to be confused with hyper grace. We have hyperbole, right? But anyway, different subject. But it wasn't hyperbole here when Jesus was talking about a literal cross. I know that sounds like a radical suggestion that Jesus actually meant what he said. It seems to me, and nobody has perfected this science for sure, but it seems to me, Joel, in just watching from the sidelines, the religious community who wants to lean more on legalism than grace, works instead of faith, it seems like they get some of what Jesus said almost backwards. What he meant is hyperbole, they take literally, and vice versa.
Yeah, right.
But I think Jesus is attempting to show his disciples, his followers, the people who were with him, I think he was trying to show them the futility of trying to be like the teacher, which was the goal of every disciple, following him to the end and literally carrying their own physical cross in order to finish the redemptive work that needed to be done. So Jesus, again, when he's talking about this stuff, he's referring to, he's saying these things to people under the law, not believers in Christ now. And there's just one other thing that I'll mention. We mentioned how disciples is not, that word never shows up after the book of Acts. Nothing about that should be involved with our identity in him. One other thing, too, there's nothing written by any of the apostles in their letters about us carrying our own cross. There was one cross. There was the cross that gets mentioned, the cross of Christ, that only Jesus would be able to bear, that we could not do for ourselves. It was with that cross, he completed a work with shed blood that would end up being more than enough. And of course, you kind of alluded to it, Joel, that we're positioned now in a place where we can kind of look back on this and see how it unfolded. And we're so thankful to be able to do that with the writings that we have.
Right, yeah. And I don't know if we'll have more to say on this, but something you had mentioned to me before we were recording all of this talk about being a disciple and being a follower, all these requirements, it's very laborious. It would be very just a lot of heavy burdens. It'd be very burdensome, and it goes against what Jesus had said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now compare that with his requirements of being a disciple and tell me there's not a difference there.
Yeah, looking ahead to the new covenant there.
Right, yep, he was looking ahead to the new covenant there. So like we've talked about in the past, a lot of times Jesus is referring to and talking to Jews who were under the law, and he was talking old covenant talk. At other times, we can clearly see that he was talking, it's just so different. It's the words that he says, the gentleness in it, and the grace that's in it, it's so different when he's talking about the future new covenant. At that time, it was future, versus these harsh requirements, some harsh words that he uses, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, and in the requirements for being a disciple and a follower. That's one way to tell. Is Jesus talking new covenant here, or is he talking old covenant? It's just one way to tell. Is it burdensome, or is he offering rest?
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.